Welcome to episode 88 of Speaking of Mysteries. I'm Nancy Clare, and our guests for this episode are Sweden's most recent crime fiction import, the two-person writing team that makes up Erik Axelsund, Jerker Eriksson, and Håkan Axlander Sundqvist, whose The Crow Girl operates as both a psychological thriller and a police procedural. It has just been published in translation from the original Swedish in the United States. Many writers of suspense can do creepy, but I think most fans of the genre agree that Scandinavian crime writers are able to bring just that much more creepy into their stories. Here's Erik Axelsund.
Welcome back to Speaking of Mysteries. This is Nancy Clare, and I am delighted to have Erik Axelsund, which is the pen name for the writing team of Jerker Eriksson and Håkan Axlander Sundqvist. Welcome to Speaking of Mysteries.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And excuse my mispronunciations, and please correct
me. Yeah, it's okay.
It's okay. I've heard worse.
It's not Swedish, but okay.
your English is far better than my Swedish, which is completely non-existent.
But you haven't learned Swedish in school since you were 7 years old.
No.
But let's talk about Crow Girl, which is just about to be published in the United States. And it struck me as a contrast of unspeakable horrors and mundane domesticity wrapped up in a police procedural. But at its core, it struck me that it's a novel about identity. Am I close?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
And I'm almost afraid of asking what inspired Crow Girl.
When we started writing it, it was like more of an experiment between two friends that was in a personal crisis.
Yes.
And we want.
It was like a psychotherapy for us.
So we start sending texts between us. But after a while, when we had 200 pages, we realized the persons hadn't moved from...
You know, two persons sitting in a room in 200 pages. People will get bored in the end. So we...
transformed it.
Into a crime novel instead.
I'm still scared, if that's the case, if you were dealing with personal issues.
I understand. I mean, open a newspaper, at least in Sweden, and you read a lot of...
A lot of really bad stuff happened around us in society, or in Swedish society, at the time when we started to write, and we were so angry and frustrated about nearly everything.
And instead of writing a cozy crime novel, we wanted to fill the pages between... I mean... The crime genre is quite convenient. there's somebody's killed and there's a police officer to solve the case. And in between you can fill it with whatever you want. And we wanted to talk about, as you said, identity. Yeah,
yeah. We should choose the subject and then to get the message through, we use the crime novel.
We should note to the listeners of the show that... Crow Girl is a trilogy, which is made up of three novels that you published in Sweden, Crow Girl, Hunger Fire, and Pythia's Instructions, which were written in 2010, 11, and 12, respectively.
Yes.
Did you envision this as a trilogy from the beginning?
No. It was the version that comes out here is more like the version we wanted to do from the start.
It's a big book, I should add. It's definitely your summer reading.
That's why a Swedish publisher said it's a commercial suicide to make a debut of unknown.
No one knows who you are. And here you come with 1,200 pages. No one will buy it. So we split it into three.
Well, I guess there's something to be said for debut authors listening to their publishers, but I think in this era of especially electronic and e-books, you could download it and it wouldn't take any more room than novella.
Of course, correct. But it wasn't like that in 2010. It has happened very quick, I think, at least in Sweden. You know, with the e-books, and e-books wasn't very big in 2010 in Sweden. Now it is, but it wasn't then.
This reminds me of something. I interviewed the crime fiction writer Lee Childs a few years ago, and he said something about the popularity of Scandinavian crime fiction, which he likes, but he goes, there's something, you know, if you're sitting on a subway or a bus and you're reading a Scandinavian crime fiction, someone's going to think that you're intelligent and you're okay. Deep and cultured. Whereas he says, I'm afraid if somebody opens up a Lee Child's book, they're going to think, oh, you know, he's just reading a thriller. I think that sticks. I think there's something about Scandinavian noir that lends itself to this, imbues the reader with a certain intelligence, and I'm wondering how you feel about that.
Yeah, flattering. Very flattering.
At what point did you talked about when you decided to team up to write the novel? And I think these novels that come together in The Crow Girl for the American market are, I'm going to call them in the modern Scandinavian tradition, and I mean that's a mixture of reality, a really, really dark psychological thriller, which you said was influenced by some of the current events that were taking place around you, and a traditional police procedural. Is that a fair characterization?
Absolutely. I mean, we are growing up in the late 70s, 80s, 90s, and we grew up with, like, Sjövallvalor. Do you know them?
Excuse me?
Sjövallvalor.
Yes. It's also a couple, married couple, writing books. They start, I think, late 60s.
You know something? I would pronounce it Marge Sjövall and Per Wallu.
Exactly.
I was good. That's my next question. Yeah, you're very good. You're anticipating my next question.
It's a lot about, you know, there's a police story, of course, but there's also social concerns in many ways.
And it's the same, what I was going to point out is in your book, you do have shout-outs to Stieg Larsson.
Absolutely.
And Marge Sjövall and Per Wallu. And I was going to ask, you know, how much they influenced your thinking about writing, not so much this story, but your how you feel about writing and getting messages through a story like this.
I think Stieg Larsson inspired us because he's a very good storyteller.
Yes. And also he showed that you can come from a small country like Sweden and you can be world famous.
Yeah.
And that's then it. Some, yeah. I think he changed, this is not an original thought, but he changed the game for Scandinavian noir and this sort of psychological thrillers. But I wanted to talk a little bit about writing partnerships. And in crime fiction, they're not as unusual as readers might think. And in Swedish crime fiction, we've already mentioned Maj and Per, and I know there's also Anders Roslund and Borge Hellstrom.
Yeah, pretty common.
And Lars Kepler.
And Lars Kepler, which is a married couple whose last name is Anderil. Yeah.
And the first name is Alexander and Alexandra.
Alexander and Alexandra.
They're almost one person already.
No,
but you know, we are from Sweden, we are social democrats, we are used to collaborate, compromise. And being diplomatic.
And in our case, we come from the music scene, and I mean, to play music, you have to be at least four, maybe. Guitarist, bassist, drums, and sing, vocal.
Yeah.
I mean, so you must compromise all the time, and writing...
It's not so different from playing music, actually. You do what you're best at, and the other person do what that person is best at.
Well, I would think that all writing partnerships are a little bit different. You anticipate my question, you know, how does yours work?
Håkan writes too little about too much, and I write too much about too little.
Yeah.
And then we have to compromise, because we have to land somewhere in between.
So we can't be too proud, then we end up in a fist fight or something like that.
Yeah.
How do you think... how do you think Americans are going to react to the Crow Girl? I mean, many of the people who read it will have read Stieg Larsson's trilogy, and they'll be, and maybe even Joel Nesbø, who is also a musician, although he is Norwegian. I understand that.
Yeah, Norwegian. Yes.
Different. But to Americans, you have to understand, most of us are geographically challenged, and it's all Sweden.
It's the strange names and all that sort of stuff.
And umlauts.
We believe that the story is, how do you say, universally?
Yes.
The story can take place everywhere in the world, maybe.
Well...
Actually, the characters are maybe more important than the story.
Yeah. I think that the relationship that Jeanette has with her bosses and with the government at large might be a little bit different than the American tradition of sort of the independent cowboy. As you said, Swedes and your social democrats, and you're used to working together and compromising and in American terms, that would be part of a team. And in America, it seems like we celebrate, especially in our crime fiction, we celebrate the Lone Ranger.
Oh, yeah. That's a cowboy tradition, maybe.
Yes. Because we're all cowboys out here, you know.
Yeah.
What can I say?
Yeah. The Wild West.
It is the Wild West. In conversations I've had with people and... Also, in my previous work, I got to work with a man named John Henry Holmberg, who is...
We worked with him, too.
He helped us with this book.
He's fantastic and amazing.
Absolutely.
And
yeah.
So, so knowledgeable. Mm-hmm. But he used to try to tell me about kind of the mindset of Swedes and of Swedish writers in particular. And he just says that... You, as writers, might go to more dark places more often than Americans.
Okay.
Is that fair?
Maybe. Sounds fair. I don't know.
Well, the fiction. I mean, how much American fiction crime fiction have you read? You've mentioned the Swedish crime fiction writers, but I'm curious, who do you read that writes in English?
But there's a lot of, really classic in Sweden, like Josef Wembo and, this Raymond Chandler is favorite for both me and Håkan. Dashiell Hammett, this noir.
They're part of any crime fiction lover's DNA, especially in California. So you talked about being a musician and transitioning from being a performing musician to being a crime fiction writer. Do you have any other correlations that you see in that relationship in putting a story together?
For example, we have, when you read our book, you can think about it, but I think every chapter, it's maximum 3 minutes. It's a punk song.
Oh.
Then it's a new chapter, a new song. It shall take as long as listening to a song by Ramones.
I hadn't noticed that.
2 minutes and 40 seconds.
But that's true. That's true. The chapters are short. And...
Yes. There's no drum solos, no guitar solos. Only straight chords, not so long sentence. Quite. The language is quite easy. You say that?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's not a complicated text. Maybe the content is complicated, but the words are not, we hope.
Well, and the story is complicated. I mean, not insurmountably complicated, but complicated. And there was one other thing that I noticed in your story that I've also noticed in other Swedish and Scandinavian crime fiction writers. That includes... Icelandic writers, is World War II is still part of kind of the general consciousness.
Mm-hmm.
I can't think of a Scandinavian crime fiction novel that I've read that hasn't made some reference to abortion.
Okay.
But it's, even in Sweden was neutral during the Second World War, but we weren't that in practical terms. You know, we helped the Germans. They could use our trains transporting their soldiers. My grandmother worked as selling coffee to young German boys, and then they come back without legs and arms. So it was very close to us, and, you know, our grandmother and grandfathers are talking about World War II still.
And then writing about Ukraine was also natural for both of us, since we had been traveling a lot there.
And then you can talk about still being in World War II in many ways, or being in the hands of Stalin, for example.
That was very poignant, that part of the book. That was Baba Yar. I mean, that was... Wow, that was...
It's a very, very, very sad place.
Very sad place.
But it's a beautiful park now, but still, when you enter it, you meet a statue of three children playing with dolls, and you understand everything. You know, I don't remember now how many people who was killed, but...
30,000.
30,000. Yeah, like in 48 hours or something.
Unbelievable. And I think it hangs heavier in Europe than it does in the United States because...
But you have your own traumas, I think.
Yeah.
We certainly do. Maybe we're just better at avoiding them.
Oh, we have been very good at that too. And I mean also exporting the image of Scandinavia as the paradise on earth. As
the idyllic states.
Yeah.
That's not completely true.
Well, I think as we mentioned, Stieg Larsson might have blown that myth right out of the water.
Yeah.
And in addition to Jod Nesbø, who also doesn't have much good to say about the Norwegian government.
Stieg Larsson did it so good that even the Swedish king went out and said that he didn't like the image that was exported by Larsson and his friends.
He liked the money that comes into the States, but not the image of Sweden that was
exported.
Well, it's amazing because the I could see this happening with your book as well, because you mentioned so many neighborhoods in Stockholm, which I have to mention is a collection of 14 islands, is it?
Something like that, maybe.
So, and you have all these different neighborhoods, and you talk about their history and how they started, and I could see someone going on a Crow Girl tour.
Yeah, we have already been on one of them.
Been there, done that.
And
no, had journalists.
Yeah.
And I could see the Swedish king liking the money because after Stieg Larsson, the tourism just exploded in Stockholm.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think we can agree that the Swedish king should shut up.
especially if you're a social democrat.
Yes.
You're currently working on your next trilogy. I mean, you're not sort of letting, as we would say, grass grow under your feet. Glass Bodies is the first installment of Melancholia.
Exactly.
And Jans Hurting is back, and he's, we should mention, he is the partner of the central character, or I should say the central police character in the mm-hmm. Crow Girl, Jeanette Kilberg.
Standalone book.
Pardon me?
It's a standalone book, our fourth book in Sweden. And the trilogy will not be like the first trilogy. It will probably be three standalone books.
And will Jeanette come back in any of these three books?
can't talk about it.
Oh!
It's the same universe and the same genre. It's a psychological thriller, too.
It's a psychological thriller and also a police procedure.
It's the same, takes place in the same universe.
Maybe a bit darker than the Crow Girl.
Yeah. A different planet, same universe.
Well, it sounds delightfully dark.
Yeah, it's so dark as it can be, I think.
So as you've moved through this universe of becoming crime fiction stars in Sweden and on the brink of becoming crime fiction stars in the United States, has anyone approached you to option this for film or television? The Crow Girl.
Yeah,
it's going to be Tomorrow's Studios.
It's Marty Adelstein who had developed Prison Break and Aquarius. And Michael London that has done Sideways and Milk.
Oh.
They are going to develop a TV series.
So it's Michael London maybe more drama guy and Marty Adelstein more action maybe.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's a pretty good combination. Can be very exciting.
Scary and exciting.
Hope so.
Hope so, yes.
Thank you so much for joining us. And
thank you for
talking about The Crow Girl. I mean, there's always sort of I feel like I walk a line because it's such an engrossing book. It's just you really, it's a book that I describe as something that you fall into. And it becomes, but I can't really talk too much about it without spoiling the story.
No, it's pretty difficult because this is a pretty complicated story, but also we have very hard ourselves to describe it in a few words.
Well, I think you did a great job, and I appreciate you doing it for Speaking of Mysteries, and I look forward to when Glass Bodies is translated, and I can read it.
Okay.
Because, yeah. As we pointed out, my Swedish is very bad.
Thank you very much.